You know, the sad thing about this time of year, about Christmas, is that many, many people will not understand what really happened on Christmas Day. They won't understand what the true celebration of Christmas is all about. Because the world, you see, is trying to take Christ out of Christmas. We were talking last night, and we had a little Christmas party here at the church, and some of the guys were telling me that at the public schools now, the children are no longer encouraged to say Merry Christmas because Christ is in there. They're encouraged to say Happy Holidays. And in so many ways, I mean, we have fights between the cities and different organizations about manger scenes because certain people don't want manger scenes on city property, and they hide behind the idea of separation of church and state, and they got it exactly backwards. The Constitution, the framers of the Constitution, the separation of church and state is so that the state would not mess with the church. And we've got it backwards because people are saying today that the church is trying to mess with the state. Well, my dear friend, that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it should be today. Christians ought to have the right to mess with the state. The state has no right to mess with the church. But if you take Christ out of Christmas, I want you to notice what you have left. You have a little three-letter word, mass, which sounds to me like mess. And anytime, anything, you take Jesus out of it, that's what you're left with, a mess. We took Jesus out of the public schools when we said we couldn't pray to him and we couldn't read the Bible. And for the most part, they're a mess. And if you take Christ out of Christmas, that's exactly what we'll have. We'll have something that will mean nothing to anybody. It'll be just another holiday that the card people have dreamed up and the merchants have dreamed up. If we don't keep Christ in Christmas, we will have missed the thing, the very thing that God wants us to know. Brother Larry read a lot of the scripture that goes along with the Christmas story, but I want to read another one this morning, one that you don't usually associate with Christmas. But it really conveys in just a couple of verses what Christmas is all about. It really conveys what we celebrate. It really helps us to understand why Christ came. It's from Philippians chapter 2 where the Bible says, talking about Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And was made in the likeness of men. Now, in theological terms, for those of you that studied different books about the Bible, that is what's called the incarnation. But in simple, down-to-earth, everyday language, what that verse is talking about is that God became man. God became man. He left heaven and he took upon him, the Bible says, the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. God came down and became a man. Why? Why? Well, some people say, well, so that he could find out all about us. I want to tell you something. God didn't need to become man to find out about us. He made us. In the book of Psalm 139, verse 14, the Bible says, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made, made by God." And I know some of you here this morning will say, "Hey, preacher, I understand that in the Garden of Eden, when Adam was formed and when Eve was formed, God made them." I want to tell you something, my friend. God made you just as much as he made Adam. And God made you just as much as he did Eve. And God knows more about you and I than anybody else in the world does. I mean, you may say, well, I know my spouse and my spouse knows me pretty good. And I know my children and I they know me pretty good. And I have a best friend and we know everything about each other. But I want to remind you that your spouse, your children, your parents, your best friend, they only see what's on the outside. And they only hear the words that you say. I want to remind you this morning that God sees not only what's on the outside, He sees what's on the inside. And I want to remind you this morning that God not only hears every word that we say, but God knows every thought that we think. And God knows everything about us. So He didn't need to become a man to find out about man. That wasn't the purpose. That wasn't the reason. Some people say, well, He needed to become a man so that He could see our sin. Well, I got news for you. He knows we're sinners. I chuckle sometimes when I read Genesis chapter 18, there where God is about to deal with the sin in Sodom and Gomorrah. And He comes and He visits with Abraham before He goes to that city. And this is what He says to Abraham. He says, I will go down now and see whether they have done, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me. And if not, I will know it. And I laugh to myself because God didn't need to come down to earth in the book of Genesis to see what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, he saw every sin. He knew every thought, wicked thought that was thought in that city. I mean, he needed to come down and tell Abraham what he was about to do. He needed to come down so that Abraham could plead for the life of his nephew who was living in Sodom. But God didn't need to come down and check it out. He didn't need to know how much it's come down and see what kind of sin they were into. And by the way, God did not need to take the form of a man and come down to check out to see if we were sinners or not. God knows every single one of us better than anybody else does, better than we know ourselves, and God knows that we're all sinners. That's why He could write, before the foundation of the world was laid, a verse like Romans 3:10, where the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And He could know before history even started that that verse would apply to every single person born of a woman. We talked about it a little bit Wednesday night. You say, oh, preachers, does that mean when God made me, He made me a sinner? No, 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 no. But He gave you a choice. And what makes us a sinner is that we at one time made the wrong choice. That's why He could write in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why He could write in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, all of our righteousnesses, all the things that we would hold up as goodness to God in God's sight are as filthy rags. So God didn't need to come and take the form of a man to find out if we were sinners or not. Why did he come then? Why do we celebrate Christmas? If Christmas is all about God coming down and taking the form of a man, why did He do that? Here's the answer. Here's what Christmas is all about. God left heaven and became man to provide a remedy for our sin. God came down from heaven and took the form of man so that He could fix our sin. God, the Prince of Jesus, the Prince of Heaven, left the Father's side and came to earth and lived among us for 33 some years so that He could provide a cure for our sin. You see, like we've already established, we're all sinners. And the Bible says that there's a penalty for that sin. In Romans 6:23 it says, for the wages of sin is death. And there's nothing that you and I can do to fix it. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't take care of my sin by joining a church. I can't take care of my sin by getting baptized. I can't fix my sin by taking communion like we do on the first Sunday of every month. I can't fix my sin by turning over a new leaf and promising God, hey, I'll never do anything wrong again. I'll be perfect from this day forward. We can't fix our sin by that. That would be a work of man. And there's no work that we can do to fix our sin. So God became man to fix it. That's what that next verse in Philippians 2 verse 8 says. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God became man. He lived among us. He lived without sin. The Bible says, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So that one day he could go to Calvary and he could pay for every single one of my sins and every single one of your sins. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad that's the way God works? Aren't you glad that God didn't say, hey, Daryl Manning, I'll wait till you turn over a new leaf. When you prove to me that you can be good, when you prove to me that there's something worthy in you, then I'll send my son to die for you. Boy, I'm glad he didn't work that way. Because I tell you what, if that's the way he'd work, there'd still be one lost sinner headed for hell. I'm glad when I was still a sinner. I'm glad when I didn't deserve it. I'm glad when I was at a point when I didn't do anything to count myself worthy before God. He sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary for my sins. And what he did for me, he did exactly for every single person in this room. For every little boy, for every little girl, for every teenager, for every man, for every woman. Jesus, God's son, went to the cross and he died in your place. And as a result of that, God can offer to every single person a gift. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so on this Christmas day, and I know it's Saturday, but on this Christmas day, in this Christmas season, let me ask you as I close my message, what are you going to do with God's gift? What are you going to do with the gift of salvation that he freely offers to every single person? Here's what will happen on Saturday. Friday night, Saturday. You'll gather with family and friends. And somewhere where you gather will maybe be a Christmas tree or something else. And underneath that tree, there'll be a pile of presents. And like I say, on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day, somebody will go to those presents and begin to pass them out. Maybe it'll be Grandpa. Maybe it'll be Dad. Maybe it'll be one of the children. There'll be little name tags or names written on those gifts, and whoever it is will take that gift and they'll give it to the person whose name it's on. Now, most of us won't think about it at that particular time. In fact, this thought will probably not cross any of our minds. But when that gift is offered to us, we have a choice. We can either take it or reject it. And as I said, I doubt if there's one person in this room that you'll even think about that choice when somebody holds that present out to you. You will not have one thought. You will not spend one second thinking, am I going to take it or am I not? Am I going to receive it or am I going to reject it? Every single person in this room, my guess would be, you'll take it. Isn't it a shame on Christmas Day when God comes to us with a gift that has our name on it? And it's the gift of salvation. It's the gift to take care of all of our sins. It's the gift of heaven that we have to stop and think about it. And that there will be people today, this morning, in the next 5 minutes that will say to God, no thank you. And will reject in the next 5 minutes the gift of salvation that God has with your name on it. You won't do that to your mom or to your dad on Christmas Day. You won't do that to your brothers or sisters. You won't do that to even good friends that give you a present on Christmas Day. And yet, in all honesty, there will be people here this morning when God comes with a present with their name on it, will reject it. You say, preacher, I would never do that. And I submit to you this morning that if you're not saved and you walk out without receiving the gift that God has for you, you in effect have rejected a gift of God. See, the Bible says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I tell you this morning, the best gift that anybody could get, and the most wonderful gift that anybody could get, is the gift that allows us to become part of God's family. The gift that allows us into heaven. The gift that allows us to get our sins taken care of. And this morning, I would encourage you, I don't care if you've been here hundreds of times, I don't care if this is your first time here, if you've never received the gift of salvation that God offers freely to every single person, I beg you to do it today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And if you've never received Christ, say, hey, I don't know how to do that. Well, let me tell you, it's real easy. It's like ABC. A, you admit that you're a sinner. You admit that you're a sinner. Say, how many sins make me a sinner? One. It's one. Does it have to be a big sin? No. Just a little sin. One little sin makes us all sinners. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, it's probably more than one little sin. There's probably some big ones. It makes us a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he was God's son. Believe the story of Christmas, that he left heaven. He took the form of a man. He went to Calvary's cross, and he died for you. He died for you. He died for you. For every single person in this room, he died for you. Believe that he did that. And then C, confess. Say with your mouth, Lord Jesus, maybe this is the first time you've heard it, but I believe what the preacher's saying. I'll admit that I'm a sinner. I believe what the preacher says. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. And even though I may have never heard the story before, I believe the preacher when he says that your son took my place on Calvary's cross. And if I'll just accept him, then you'll forgive my sins and make me part of your family. And I want to tell you something. God has given every single person in this room enough faith to believe those things. You got just enough to believe those things. Would you do it this morning? Would you receive the gift that God has for every single person? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for the fact that God, you became man, that Jesus came and left the glories of heaven, born in that manger that we sang about this morning. The shepherds came and the wise men came and the star was there and the wise men brought their gifts. And everything that is so familiar to us about the Christmas story, help us not to lose sight of what it's all about. That you became man so that we could have a remedy for our sins. And Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus. I pray in just a moment they'll do the ABCs. They'll admit their sin. They'll believe that Jesus died to save them, and they'll confess him. Man, woman, boy, girl, they don't have to be a certain age. They don't have to meet a certain set of conditions. They got to come just like they are. Thank you for loving us just like we are. Thank you for inviting us into your family just like we are. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us just like we are. Thank you, Father, that you give us an invitation to come just like we are. And if there's folks here this morning that need to come, I pray in just a moment as we stand and we sing a song of invitation that they would come and they would take that gift that Jesus has for them. Father, I pray if there's others here that need to make other decisions. Maybe you're speaking to some about baptism. Maybe you're speaking to some about church membership. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we'd be obedient. As you speak to us, we would listen and we'd be obedient to what you tell us to do. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.